All righty. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. Coleman gave it away that talking about seed time and harvest tonight. Gave away the secret. Mark 4, verse 26. Now listen to these words now. Very interesting. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Verse 30, Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? If it is like a mustard seed planted in the ground." So you see this? He's talking about seed, talking about the kingdom of God, what it's like. And so this is an important principle for us to have understanding if we want to be successful in the kingdom of God on this earth or in the next life to come. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of the garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. So this is the power of seed time and harvest. And again, this is how the kingdom of God works. Remember back in Genesis chapter 1, it was talking about man being created in God's image. And it was said it was two things that he gave man. You remember what those two things are? Dominion, or we would say authority, and the other one is the power to plant seed. And so that goes back to the very beginning, and that so we're still dealing with that today. Authority, how important is our authority on the earth? And who even, you know, most believers don't have any understanding of that. But also, you know, and as important as authority is, the power to plant seed and reap a harvest is there as well. Coleman read that in Genesis 8. We'll just read it again. Genesis 8, verse 22. You know, because we like, you know, wonder, well, is this the Old Testament, New Testament? Is this, you know, how long is this going to last here? "While the earth remains," as far as my understanding, the earth is still here. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." So starting with the garden till now, until the end of the earth, there's seed time and harvest. And its principles, and it's working. So now let's turn to Galatians 6. And I want to read this from the Amplified and camp out here for a little while. Galatians 6, verse 7. "Do not be deceived." These are strong words right here. "Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever," say whatever. "For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. For he," verse 8, "for he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Verse 9, "And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint." So going back to verse 6 and Paul saying, "Do not be deceived," he's making a warning to the Galatian church, and it's a good warning for us today because the Galatians were being led astray by false teaching and wrong thinking. And so when you're deceived, you get off course. You're influenced by somewhat outside of the kingdom of God. And basically what they were saying is, don't pay any attention to the principle of seed time and harvest. It's irrelevant. It doesn't work. And so Paul's saying to us today, watch out for deception. Watch out for erroneous teaching. Now the word deluded, it mentioned that in verse 6 as well, amplified. The word deluded, it means mental disorder. It's a belief or an impression that is firmly maintained despite being contradicted by reality or truth. It's a false impression. That's a delusion. That's being deceived. Believing something that's the truth, that you think it's the truth when it's not the truth. And just because we believe something to be true does not make it true. Just because we were told it, you know, even by the preacher, or told it by our parents, or told it by someone else, they told it to you as the truth. But if it doesn't line up with the Word, then it's not truth. And so we can be deceived. They were deceived back then. We can be deceived in this generation. And I don't want to be deceived. I want to walk in the truth. I want to walk in the light. I want to walk in freedom. And the more you know and understand the truth and apply it in your life, the more freedom you're going to walk in this earth. So I want that. So I want to hear the truth. I want to know it. I want to understand it. I want to speak it. I want to apply it in my life. And I hope here at Good News Church, I want this to be a place of truth. I don't want it to be about opinions, my opinion or Nate's opinion or Susie's opinion or someone else's opinion. I want it to be based on the truth. That's why here, you know, a lot of times, I'm really guilty of this, I overdo it with scriptures. But if I'm going to overdo it in the area, that's okay for me to have too many scriptures. But you should have seen me 20 years ago. Man, I mean, I had all these scriptures, and I was not going to end the sermon until I got through remember those days? Every one of those scriptures. And that's where 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hour services. Can those that are here now say praise the Lord? Can different parts of your body say praise the Lord? So to think that seed time and harvest doesn't work or doesn't apply to you is a delusion. To think that you cannot sow things and reap and to think that it doesn't apply to you, that's a delusion, that's a deception. And Paul is saying, whatever you sow, whatever. I mean, we use Galatians 6 for the offering time, and Coleman talked about this. Whatever we sow, though, with our words, our actions, our finances, is going to be multiplied back to us. And you know about farming. You know if you plant a seed, I don't know how many pieces of fruit come out of one seed, but it's a lot more than that one seed. And we can argue about 30, 60, 100 fold, all of that, but we'll just say it's going to come back in a greater measure than what's planted. That's just even in the natural, we can understand that. But when you're looking, and I know you don't have time to study some of these things, but if you look at the word in this context in Galatians 6, the word sow and the word reap means what you sow continually, what you're in the habit of doing. And so, I used this before about, I'll eat a Twinkie, every so often. I mean, that's not going to be good, but it's not going to do serious damage, but, you know, a half dozen Twinkies every day, you know, 7 days a week.
Just one every day.
I mean, there's no telling what's in that Twinkie. There's no telling. But, and so it's a continual, what are we doing on a continual basis? I'm just going to milk this as long as I can because, you know, in a little while I won't be able to milk it anymore, but since August of last year, we went to Australia. We did four major trips last year, or within a time, you know, that year time frame. And I came back from Australia. I came back just exhausted, and more so than I had ever been before. And it was just a weariness and not feeling good, and just, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's more than just being tired. I just wasn't feeling good. And so Susie had this brilliant move. I don't know what day we got back, but I don't know if it was like a Thursday or something like that, a Thursday or Friday. That coming Tuesday, she had Corey Tiller show up at her house for training. Oh my goodness! You would have loved to have that on video. I mean, I almost passed out about five times. I was seeing stars. I didn't throw up, but I mean, I ate my breakfast about seven or eight times. You know how the cow chews its cud. And I'm telling you, don't. That sixth, seventh time, man, it doesn't taste good at all. And I was sore. Oh, my goodness. I was sore for a week. I mean, And, you know, I'm trying to, when I'm around people, I'm trying to put on a good front. But when there's nobody around, I'm just, you know, just any movement's painful. Then he gave us this diet, a meal plan. And then had us drink a gallon, more than a gallon of water a day. And it was some tough days in there. But we stayed with it. I'm trying to get some sympathy here. But we stayed with it, and we've been at it since August. I by the scales the other day, I'm down 20 pounds. And I wish you could have been there today for our workout. Now, we don't have Corey Tiller. We have another Corey. That's Corey with a K. We got Corey with a C now. And he worked us today. That's a great job. You just tell people what to do. You stand there with your phone and tell other people what to do. That's a great job. He gets paid for it. And so, it's and again, I'm not where I want to be. I'm on track. And do I miss it? I've had some bad weeks. I've been out of town. I've had some bad days of eating. It hasn't been Twinkies, but it's been other things that just as bad as Twinkies. But that's not been a habit though. And if I get off track, then I get back on track. And so, overall, what I'm sowing continually is health seeds. Now, I still believe the most powerful seed is the Word. So I'm not banking, I'm not banking on that for my health. Still have my Gospels. Gospels, the Word, my healing scriptures, speaking over my body. But I'm doing the water. Getting plenty of sleep. I'm exercising. My fitness is getting better. So I'm planting some good seeds, and I feel better. I probably feel better than I felt in a long time. I mean, years. And, you know, going into Australia, though, that year, or maybe the last couple of years before that, I was just a lot of bad seeds. So this, I mean, but so let me ask you, because we can kind of be even deceived about this, because I wanted a harvest in my health, but I didn't even know what seeds I needed to sow. But yet I wanted to be healthy. But what seeds do I sow? And then, I mean, but I think we kind of deceive ourselves. We want this harvest in these different areas of our lives. But are we sowing, including the Word, are we sowing any seed? You know, if we want our marriage to be better, we say we want, you know, heaven on earth in our marriage. What's the seed we're sowing to get the harvest of the better marriage? We're going through Financial Peace University right now. And man, we've got a great class going. Wesley's in that class and Kathy's in that class. And I mean, people are excited and the Deemers are in that class. But they're first of all, they're sowing their time. They bought a Financial Peace University kit, got some money in it now, and then they're coming to class and watching the video and going through the discussions, and then there's homework to do and assignments. Now it's a little easier right now. It's going to get painful when you start having to talk about making some different changes. But they're sowing the seed for a harvest. And what are some of the harvests they're promising in the class? They're promising that you're going to pay down debt, that you're going to have more in savings, and you're going to be able to give more. And so that all sounds like great. Well, those are great goals. And we all want that. But are we willing to sow the seed and then water the seed for the harvest that we want to get? Because it's a deception to think if we're going to have the harvest that we want and not sow the seed or water the seed. That's a deception. And so I would ask, you know, and one of the best harvests that you want is a harvest in your spirit, man. I mean, eternal things are the most important things. But what are we sowing, you know? And so we want a harvest of that. What's being sown? Sow a little, reap a little. Sow a lot, reap a lot. Sow inconsistently, reap inconsistently. Sow on a regular basis, reap on a regular basis. Now let's get into verse 7. And this is the area where I got to just pray the Lord just give me clarity on verse 7. Let's go back to verse 7. Read it again. Verse 8. Verse 8. For he who sows to his own flesh the lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. Who likes this verse? He who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now God's Word is a safety net. It's a safety net for us. It feeds our spirit. It renews our mind. It brings health and healing to our body. It affects us in all areas of our lives. But God, He doesn't want us not to sin because He doesn't want you to have fun. And I think that's kind of the mentality. Well, God doesn't want me to have any fun. He doesn't want me to enjoy life. He just wants me to be serious and for there just to be suffering. And, you know, that's what He wants. Now, well, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. He doesn't want you to sin because it brings death. Because He loves you and He cares about you, and so He's really looking out for you. And so these things, He's identified them in the Bible that these things will hurt you and they'll hurt people around you. Now, we all know that scripture in Romans. You know, for those that used to, you know, the good Baptists know this. But we used to learn this four spiritual laws back when I was with Campus Crusade for Christ. But the Baptists know the scripture. The wages of sin is what? The wages, there's a wage of sin is death. Now, Susie brought this out, and I love Susie and trust her, but I double checked. I went back and checked the word because she said that word death also means misery. The wages of sin is misery. And I double checked it and she was right. Good job, Susie. You're good. What is misery? Misery is a state or feeling of great distress or discomfort of mind and body. The wages of sin is the state or the wages of misery is a state or feeling of great distress or discomfort of mind and body. Meaning it has an effect on your mind. It has an effect on your body. And so sin is to be avoided, right? We're supposed to resist temptation. We're supposed to avoid things that the Bible... And sin has been, in its basic definition, is missing the mark. And we could probably get in a big discussion about what is a sin and what isn't a sin. But I'm very concerned by believers today. I mean, as a pastor, I'm concerned about this church and the people of Good News Church. But I'm very concerned about believers today because I'm just seeing just kind of a fooling around with sin. A dabbling in it, a fooling around in it, and then just a blatant tearing pages of the Bible out, and I don't need to. That doesn't, you know, that's Old Testament. Well, I'll just have news for you, and again, I'm not going to get into particular things. I'm going to let you... Maybe another message. And, you know, because your conscience will tell you right and wrong. The Holy Spirit in you will tell you right and wrong. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to avoid. It says to avoid even the appearance of sin. But we have people today just like, well, and part of it has to do with grace teaching. Well, it doesn't really matter what I do because God's going to forgive me. That's a misappropriation of grace. We're saved by grace through faith. I thank God for grace. It's called the throne of grace. But there is still seed time and harvest. Well, what do we do then if we've sown some bad seed? Well, there's the word repentance. Repentance will go in, I mean, godly sorrow, godly repentance will go in the ground and tear up that bad seed and it'll be fruitless. But I think someone's just kind of saying, well, I'm going to do this because I'm forgiven, it's okay because I'm under grace. I don't know if that, is that repentance? So I don't want to get into the place now where we're going to be start confronting everybody, because everybody's got weaknesses. But I'll get into this in a minute. I mean, I believe there will be some talks with people, Holy Spirit led talks. But I just want to encourage you, if you're dabbling in stuff where your conscience is telling you this is wrong, get some help. And then it talks about a person's conscience being seared where they don't even recognize anymore that it is sin. That's a dangerous place. But we need to know the Word, and we need to read our Bibles, And again, we're not about being sin conscious, you know. But we got to make sure we don't use our freedom to do the things we used to do and now feel good about it. Because it's the truth. Wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is misery. Now let's look at Jude. I've made that so soft for you, it's unbelievable. I really just... Jude 1, verse 16. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. And it's just kind of their own code. You know, I'll do some of the Bible, but not all of it. You know, I'll be selective here. You know. Because I want to be blessed. Come on, I want to be blessed. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that this verse is found in the middle of that? What we need to do, build ourselves. I think it was a great way to start off 2017, 21 days of prayer, spending time praying in the Spirit, growing in that. Look at this. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, isn't it interesting? Now let's look at verse 22. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And so I believe in 2017, I believe as we're following the Holy Spirit, I believe there's going to be times we're going to confront a brother and sister about their lifestyle. And again, we do it in love. We speak the truth in love. And we do it led by the Holy Spirit. We do it with fear and trembling. But because of the behavior of the other person, we need to step in. And it says we're pulling them out of the fire. You ever pull someone out of the fire? I've done that before. Pull people out of the fire. I don't want anybody here at Good News Church to be in the fire. I don't want any of my family members. And so we're not like, and listen to me, it's not condemnation, because there's no condemnation in Christ, but there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't mean you have to, you know, come to the altar and wail and gnash your teeth and do that for 7 days, you know, an hour for 7 days, and then it's a conviction, and you're open to the Holy Spirit and say, yes, I'm going to make that change. Repent means you're going this way, and I'm going to turn and go the other way. So that's one thing we'll be just praying about. Just, Lord, help us if we have those situations. I don't want to do it. I don't like confronting people. But the Holy Spirit leads me to do it. And usually when I do, if it's a church matter, I'll have somebody with me. Always someone with me. And I'll never, when I'm talking to somebody, I'll never do it in anger. Just like when you spank your kids, never do it in anger. You know, prayed up, talking to them, have the word there, pray for them, pray they receive it, and make the adjustment. And it could be any of us. I mean, better people than us have fallen. Better people than us have got involved in all kinds of things. And so we do it humbly. We do it with, you know, a reverence for God and the things of God. All right, let's move on. All right, let's go back to verse 9 of Galatians 6. You're going to be glad I'm moving on, right? Verse 9, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. Weariness shows up in your words. When you get weary, you start saying things contrary to the word. And that's a danger zone. If you faint, quit, or draw back, you will not reap. That's the what it's saying here. If you quit, if you draw back, you will not reap from the seed that you've sown. And that's sad, because what happens if you're just right there and your harvest is just about coming in and you give up and quit? And again, if you've sown bad seed, what do? Repent. Your words tear up that bad seed. You don't want it to produce. But I want to encourage you people here at Good News Church. I've known you've sown a lot of good seeds. I know you've got a lot of seed in the ground. Continue to water it. Continue to use your authority with the word. Continue to speak over it. I don't care if it looks like the sinners are prospering and the church is not. That's a lie. Keep on sowing. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't draw back. Don't give up on seed time and harvest. Harvest is on the way. Harvest is on the way to your house. Harvest is on the way to this church. And we're not going to quit. And if you get weary, get with one of your crazy faith friends and start talking about things and start talking the word, and iron sharpens iron. Start getting in your prayer closet, taking some time praying in the Spirit. It's building you up. It's strengthening you. Double up on your word time. Meditating and speaking the word. Devil's not going to steal our harvest. And one of the greatest harvests is the harvest of the gospel, the harvest of souls. And so we definitely want to be about that. That's the main harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. And that should be one of the, it's not all about me getting a harvest. I want to be involved in the great harvest that God's doing. And really, all the other seeds we're sowing is for that. All right, now we're going to close with our favorite scripture, 2 Corinthians 9. Who likes 2 Corinthians 9? Amplified version. Who likes 2 Corinthians 9 in the Amplified version? And I believe I'm reading this to the right people here tonight. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Now, the rest of the verses are talking about the person that sows generously. Not just someone just sowing seed. The rest of the verses are talking about the bountiful sower. And so if you want to claim those promises, you need to be a bountiful sower. Am I hearing something, or is that my imagination? Am I hearing a humming? Oh, okay, either way. All right. Verse 7, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful. You could put a bountiful giver here. a cheerful, joyous, prompt, do-it giver whose heart is in His giving. Is that you? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a cheerful giver. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a prompt to do it giver. And if that's you, which I believe it is, God prizes you above others, other things. He can't do without you. Now, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, an earthly blessing. Am I making this up, James? Is that in the Bible? Or am I making, is that Matt Judd's interpretation? God is able to make every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. So that you may always, I love those words, always and under all circumstances, how's that feel, Nate? Under all circumstances, in whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. I want this church to be a distribution center. I want to be a distribution center for the kingdom of God. As it is written, the benevolent person, that's another name for the bountiful giver. The cheerful giver. The bountiful giver. The benevolent person scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And God who provides seed for the sower. If you are a bountiful giver, God is going to look to get seed into your hands. He's doing all He can to get seed into your hands because He can trust you. And He'll get so much seed in your hand, you're going to need to pray what to do with it all. What to spend, what to save, what to give. Seed for the sower, bread for eating, also provide and multiply. Provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in acts of goodness, kindness, and charity. He's going to open up doors. He's going to open up spheres of influence. He's going to open up things for you that you can do more goodness, kindness, and charity. Well, this is what I've been thinking about. And I'm declaring over you, I'm declaring over the congregation of Good News Church that we are bountiful sowers here. That we sow bountifully, therefore we reap bountifully. But here's the deal. The higher the quality of seed, and the more skillful you are in faith, the higher return of the harvest you're going to get. Did you catch that? A farmer, you know, there's a difference between me going out in my backyard and doing some work and planting some seed than someone that's been doing it for 40 years that's good at it. And they know how to maximize. They know what seed to use. They use the best seed. They've got the best equipment. They've got it down. A lot of habits. There's a lot of habits involved in farming. Daily things that you do. And the higher the quality of seed, the more skillful you are in looking over that seed, the more yield of harvest that you're going to have. And so I want you to be thinking every day, how can I sow quality seed? How can I sow quality seed in my relationships? I think some of us are going to have to step it up financially in our giving. Now, scripturally speaking, the only harvest you have financially doesn't just have to do with sowing and reaping as far as just putting money in the offering and tithing. There are biblical financial principles. So, I mean, are you going to... tithing and sowing seed, are those good things? Are they going to protect you from a whole lot of things? Is your money going to go further? Absolutely. But to get to where you want to go financially, there's other seeds besides tithing and offerings that need to be sown to reap the kind of the harvest and the management of it, I guess. The stewardship of it. You're not going to have a change in relationships, and it's a deception to think you're going to have a change in relationships by keep doing, if you have a bad harvest, keep doing the things you're doing, but want it to be different. You may need a coach. You may need to go to a seminar. You may need to read books. You may need to spend time in prayer. You may need to go to a therapist. Susie and I have done that. At one time, 2 years. 2 years. And I'm not saying this is for everybody. I'm just saying for us. I believe we were led by the Spirit what we needed to do at this time. But 2 years going every week, and I was getting the discount, preacher's discount, $100 a pop. So I'm sowing time, the time it takes, the energy, the pain we went through, the money that was sown to get a particular harvest. It's a deception to think you're going to have a different harvest than what you've been getting if you continue to sow the same seed. You're going to have to up the quality of the seed you're sowing. And being disciplined about the whole seed time harvest, it's got to be on your mind. Now you're going to have a day where you mess up, you know, just like with eating, but it's not a continual habit. Just take care of that and go on. But what do you want? We got the whole year ahead of us. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want physically? What do you want spiritually? What do you want financially? Now you can't do it all at one time. But I tell you, gossip, talking ugly about people, wanting the relationship to be better. It's like I want things to be better with Vanessa, but I'm just bad mouthing the best of Vanessa every time I get. Vanessa doesn't know it. I'm not Vanessa. I say good things about you. But I'm wanting things to be good between us. When I'm away from Vanessa, I'm just bad mouthing her. What kind of seed is that? And we're deceived about that. We want something different in relationships, but we're not willing to sow anything different. And then we're actually continuing to sow negative seed. This is powerful. Talk about the power of the seed, the power of your mouth, and the authority we have. And what I'm saying tonight is I want to get this seed time harvest working for you. It's already working. You're getting harvest every day. Now there are attacks of the devil. There are things that happen, and we deal with that from authority, so that does happen. But I'm talking about on a continual basis. What we're getting is what we're sowing. Now, you can say, oh, me, or amen, or something about it, but let's work together and start making some changes. What can we do differently tomorrow? The slate is clean. His mercies are new every morning. What can you do differently tomorrow? Now, I'm not standing by anybody in particular to what I'm saying, so people think I'm like trying to say something to them. I'm not. I'm just moving around, okay? But we could talk about our boss and our place of business and badmouth them and gripe and complain, and they probably deserve it. But then come promotion time, we wonder why we're not getting a harvest of promotion. And I know there's horrible bosses, and I know there's some in ungodly environments that we don't even need to be there. But sometimes we're just deceived, and we're blaming everybody else when we don't realize that we're sowing the seed to reap the harvest that we're getting.